Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw on the wisdom of the saints to help us to understand how to navigate the tumult of this life, how to navigate our sin and brokenness, and how to know the peace that passes all understanding, and how to know a deeper kind of joy and union in the interior life that is fueled by the graces of marriage, which is what we're talking about today.
Can I say something?
What?
I just want you to know how much I like you.
That's, I think it's because you're mentally ill.
No. No. I just like, it was kind of welling up in my heart. And
that's
I, you know, it's a given that I love you. I've hung in there, right?
Yeah.
But but I truly like you.
And I'm grateful for that. At least there's one.
I love our life together. And I'm so very grateful for the graces being poured out.
Yeah.
In part through what we're about to talk about.
Yeah. So the reason we're talking about it, we meet every second and fourth Saturday with people all over the world gathered together in Apostoli VA, our community, which is, I think, now 4,000 people strong. It's growing like crazy.
All over the world.
All over the world, priests and laity and diocesan and priests and religious who need formation or whatever. It's free. It's not an advertisement, but what we were talking about this past Saturday morning, we're going through Introduction to the Devout Life, and it's crazy. We had like 8,000 people sign up initially. but the section we're going through, which is fascinating considering when he lived and kind of the social mores of the time, what we're going through is a section on chastity in marriage. And how is it that you live an appropriately chaste life in marriage? And that doesn't mean abstinence, but it means something that is not commonly taught. I think probably John Paul II is the one who's
he's best known
for the depths of his exploration of these things. But I only heard once and then have through a lot of prayer and consideration come to some clarity, I think, on how is it that a marriage, the sacrament of marriage in particular, strengthens us in the interior life and helps us to grow in union with God.
Yeah, why is it at the level of a sacrament?
Right.
Right? Rather than just one more thing that we do.
Right. And so to set the stage a little bit, when you think about, there are one-time sacraments like baptism, and then there are sacraments that have a continual outpouring of grace available to us, reinfusion or of the life of God.
To the extent that we desire it, that we engage with it, that our hearts properly disposed.
Yeah, those are some important points I want to dig into.
Yeah.
So everyone knows the Eucharist as an example. The more you frequent the Eucharist, the more of the life of God you avail yourself to. And of course, confession similarly. The Eucharist most prominently, confession in a negative and a positive way, because it presumes the preceding sin. But it's interesting that the Eucharist and marriage, both from a purely positive standpoint, increase the life of grace continually. But it depends on how we approach the sacrament. So to speak of the Eucharist first, when we are improperly disposed to the Eucharist there's two extremes. I always give this example of two veiled women. They both go and they kneel, and one could be consuming damnation and one could be consuming eternal life in a sense. Mm-hmm. Well, how is that? But it's the same Eucharist. So how is that? Well, one is has no mortal sin. They've been to confession. They have no sin on them.
And their heart is disposed to receive.
Their heart is, yes, open to all that God desires. They're living a holy life. Fiance. And the other one is living in habitual sin and not going to confession. Mm-hmm. So condemnation or sainthood.
Right.
So similarly, in marriage, the sacrament conveys graces to us based on our disposition. But before we go there, I do want to talk about, and just to give my voice a break, obviously I'm under the weather, talk about our encounter with that priest, the exorcist priest that we worked with for a while.
So years ago, you know, I don't know, this is probably 7 years ago, somewhere in there, 5-7 years ago. We had somebody that kind of drew near to us unexpectedly, had been following our work and kind of got, you know, like enveloped into our prayer life and, you know, small group, my women's group and such. And it was discovered that she had a very hard time with Marian devotion. And, you know, long story short, it turned out that, you know, she was possessed. Okay. A sweet, kind,
good,
loving person, very, very good person. And unbeknownst to her, she had no idea this was going on and all that. So anyway, we get her properly oriented and pointed the right direction, and then get contacted by the diocesan exorcist who invited us to come meet with him at a monastery.
And we have permission to talk about the case.
Yeah. So we would never reveal who she is or anything. So anyway, we go and meet, and he asks us to be part of his exorcism team. That means assisting, bringing the person to him, you know, every week, praying, supporting, and all those things. And we said, you know, Father, we don't know anything about exorcism. You know, our first reaction was, why are you asking us? We don't have anything to offer. We just are loving her and making sure she gets the help she needs. And he said something I will never forget. He said, you don't understand. Your sacramental marriage based in Christ, your prayer life, the way you live as husband and wife, your presence at an exorcism actually provides protection for me as a priest, as the priest that is, you know, bestowing that sacramental. And we were shocked, you know, we were shocked about it and had come to understand that there is a power. Since then, we've prayed about this, we've thought about it, we teach on it in the marriage retreat, this understanding that a husband and wife united to one another in the sacraments, completely given over to the Lord, living an authentic Catholic spirituality, prayer life, you know, not Sunday only, like seriously committed, actually provides a spiritual covering over the priest when you're present in an exorcism and praying for him.
Yeah. And just to explain it a little bit, the kind of the whys behind it, or it's not an unusual claim. You've never heard it before, I'm sure, unless it's from us or that particular priest who's not a public figure. But it's the same reason that the possessed person could not enter our home at one point.
Right.
Because they would manifest. Well, why would they begin to manifest as they tried to come across the threshold of our home? Well, because our home is blessed, because there's constant prayer, there's ministry going on there. It is demons are made to be uncomfortable by the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And not that we're perfect reflections of that reality, but there's a lot of God word stuff going on.
Right.
So similarly, as you live in the sacraments, you by definition push back the darkness. So mm-hmm. Eucharist, reconciliation, just living out your life as an authentic disciple of Jesus, you by definition make the darkness uncomfortable and push it back.
Yeah, you repel him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then before that event, I had been exploring, well, if marriage is a sacrament, is the grace conferred ongoing, or is it just a one-time thing? Mm-hmm. And through someone who's given their life to marriage ministry, came to realize it was an ongoing thing. And then just wrapping my head around, well, how does that work?
Yeah.
But when you understand sacramental theology, you and the way that we approach the sacrament in terms of that aspect of the theology, mm-hmm. it's not complicated. Mm-hmm. And it actually begins to open up before you, and you begin to see, oh, this is how that works. So we're going to be going to the break in a minute or so, and we'll give you the specifics on how that works. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're stuck in your interior, if you're married and you're stuck in the interior life, you're not making spiritual progress, you're not growing. We always around every year around Advent, we ask people to evaluate, ask a single question, a very powerful question, which is, are you different than you were a year ago? Ask the one who knows you best, you mm-hmm. know, using the guide, the list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Whichever of those needles you want to ask about, or all of them, ask your spouse, are you growing? And if the answer is no, mm-hmm. And you're married to a Catholic who shares your faith, this conversation
is for you.
Is for you, and yeah. It could help you to turn a corner and avail yourself of the life of God in a way that you may not have understood before.
Right.
And it can be avail yourself of it in the sense of a virtue, the pursuit of virtue, or the negation or the fighting of sin. Mm-hmm. Or vice, in because of the way that you approach your marriage life. So before we go to break, I just want to tell folks about a pilgrimage we have coming up.
Yep, and we're going to Poland and the Marian Shrines of the Alps, and that's May 14th through the 26th of 2025. We also have a marriage retreat, Divine Intimacy and Marriage, February 14th through the 16th, 2025. Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreat, Ascent to Oneness. That's in Bismarck, North Dakota. You can find both of these and any other events that we're doing at spiritualdirection.com/events. Check it out.
And if you're listening at a different time of the year, or this is, come across the show, we're always cycling through.
Yeah, so subscribe to the page. Yeah. And you're always going to be kept up to date.
All right, we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. We're talking about how it is that the life of God, the power of God, the presence of God increases through the sacrament of marriage, which isn't just a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And can dramatically affect your progress towards sainthood, which you're all called to be on that path, to desire that path, to pursue it, because God desires it for you. So in this discussion, we set it up, we were talking about St. Alphonsus Liguori's, Francis de Sales' reflection on chastity in marriage. And one of the things he talks about, and this, and if you get this right, grace will increase, and if you don't, it will decrease.
Right.
And chastity in marriage is about managing your passions such that they are governed by godliness, which doesn't, it can mean abstinence, but St. Paul says that's only for a time of prayer. Mm-hmm. That's the only time there should be abstinence.
And it has to be mutually agreed upon and
right.
all of that.
Yeah. So, but that grace comes, let's talk about the negative first. We block the grace, or we suppress the life of God, or we resist his plan, or we give ourselves to the enemy's plan when our passions rule us. And how right. does that work? It's the unbridled lust,
right?
Meaning, which causes, as an effect, the use of the other for the sake of your pleasure. And that's the primary concern. It can be the only concern or the primary concern. It doesn't matter right. either way. It's destructive. And I think even confessable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think what we're talking about here specifically, if you hadn't figured it out, is the marital embrace.
Well, that of course is like, you know, the big thing, but it's also how we interact. I mean, every time that I deny you something that you need or a good that I could provide if I was selfless enough, I am giving myself over to the vice side of the column.
Right.
I'm being selfish and I'm in essence rejecting the life of God in that could come if I would right. provide for you.
Right. On the other side, if I disrespect you, control you, emasculate you,
criticize
you, nag, you know, if I do those things, I am in essence just breaking down the bond
right.
of our marriage. I'm getting it out of order. I love Ephesians 5. Mm-hmm. You know, if we look at Ephesians 5 in its fullness, men are called to nurture and cherish their wives. Women are called to respect their husbands. Mm-hmm. And guys have the lion's share. You have the lion's share in that scripture verse of what is expected of you.
We have the heavier burden.
You have the heavier burden.
Our judgment
right?
and all of that. Yeah, right. If you read the passage and you count the number of letters applied to what a man is responsible for
yeah.
versus a woman, it's like one third or a quarter to the women, the famous passage, you know, that everybody dreads. But three quarters of the responsibility is put on the shoulders of the man. But let's get to, so how do I receive the life of God, live more fully in the life of God, grow in union with him in our relationship? First, suppressing, not allowing the passions to rule my sexual nature or any aspect of our relationship.
Yeah.
My intellect should be oriented to God. My will oriented to my intellect and my passions as servants
right.
to what God's will is, God's design is. So anytime I don't give you, which could be physical intimacy, It could just be intimacy in general, like conversation, nurturing a relationship or whatever. It could be just anything you need that I withhold. It's sort of like, and then if I go to seek intimacy, by the way, with you, I am not well disposed.
No.
Or properly disposed to that act.
Yeah. And as a wife, it's almost impossible for me to be receptive.
Right.
You know, if I'm being denied all those things, it's almost impossible for me to open up my heart and be receptive. You know, can I deny myself and get beyond that? Yes. But that it's tough. And what you're talking about is something that goes from life giving to just use.
Right.
You know, which I love that he says use or abuse. And I would say,
who's he?
Francis de Sales in that book. But I would say it's the difference between loving and abusing,
right,
rather than use and abuse, because I would put use over here.
I suspect, you know, the translation.
Yeah, it's just the translation or whatever. Yeah. But anyway.
So that's the negative. Now, how is it that I increase the life of God?
Right.
It's every time that I love my wife in the way that is honoring to her and to God. Mm-hmm. So literally taking out the trash, if that's what you want me to do or need me to do. You know, picking up my underwear on the floor in the bedroom. I don't leave it on the floor, by the way. Whatever the list is. Right.
Putting up the projector screen for me.
Right. Okay. which I sometimes am hesitant to do. Emptying the dishwasher, yeah. Right. You know. Serving you in the realm of intimacy,
right,
which is the height of the expression of marital union, to the point that your needs are first and cared for first. That's when the grace flows in its fullness.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And vice versa for me is when I receive. Right. I'm built to receive through the feminine genius, the way I've designed. Right. Our bodies, females, we're literally vases, we're vases.
Yeah.
And our arms are curved. You know, everything about us is built to receive. So I love that the Greek word for woman is negaba. It really means open.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I am living out that design and I am open, and I am open to receiving you in all those ways, and I'm respecting you, and I'm building you up as my husband and loving you in response, in a loving response to your desire to serve me, then that, all those acts, which all are life-giving, right? They're all at the service of another. But even down to the minutia or the height of the marital embrace, that creates life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's both unitive and procreative. And I love knowing and understanding that it, procreative doesn't mean just making babies.
Yeah.
Procreative is, it's life-giving. It, the unity of that marital embrace actually starts to pour out around us and creates life. It creates life in our ministry and our service to others and our love for one another, for our children. For those that have been entrusted to us in any way. So it is unitive, which is where all the grace flows, and it makes you more one to the extent that you're properly disposed, heart, mind, soul, and body, to receive those graces, that you're in a state of grace when it happens, all of those things. But then it becomes procreative as well, whether you can still conceive children or not. So it is vitally important to continue to nourish intimacy with your spouse in all those ways that can be done, talking, spending time together, looking at each other in the eyes,
praying together, studying together,
all the things, and the marital embrace.
Yeah. I think what's fascinating too is this idea of being properly disposed to receive the Eucharist and then properly disposed to marital intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, being in a state of grace, which is not it's not the same as the Eucharist, but when you are in a state of grace, you are open more fully to the graces of God.
Yeah.
When you're not, you're not. And so by sheer logic, mm-hmm. that means that there are more graces that flow when you're living the life. So I wonder, you know, well, let me just say this. So I know there's folks out there listening and just going, oh, wow, I really love this. And I wish I could, wish my spouse was listening, or I wish I could learn more about this. And I had no intention of making this show like a commercial for Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreats, but that's really the best way. I mean, we right. do a 3-day retreat. We're scheduled to do, our goal is to do 3 a year, and they're come away retreats. We tend to not do them at parishes, so people can come away from their house and get a babysitter and all of that. But if this is, you know, piquing your interest and you're thinking, I need a refresh in the marriage, I need a
restart,
I want to learn this more fully, because we dive way, you know,
we
go for hours and hours on what this all means and how to practically live it out, because there's so much more than we're talking about here. But if you have any interest at all, I'd strongly recommend you head out to spiritualdirection.com/events and sign up for one of the retreats that's coming up. I think we have one up now, but we'll have several up.
Yes, we have.
We'll always have one up.
Yeah, it's actually our most requested event anymore. Yeah. We have many, many requests to come do this retreat and in different dioceses. So we're working on it. We're trying to get out as many as we can without breaking ourselves and breaking our schedule. But it is life-changing, and it's not because of us. It's because of God's beautiful mercy.
And his design.
Yeah.
We live by his design. You live by his grace.
That's right.
All right.
So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.